Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam in the Morning podcast, brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Centers, where I get my Wild Country tires. Les Schwab, doing the right thing since 1952.
It's U.S. Open Week with Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
We'll just call this mental preparation for the U.S. Open, where the rough is deep and the greens are slick and the nerves are shattered.
The Fans U.S. Open Week.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club. There's no better course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com.
Dusty and Cam on 1080.
There's chili dip in there.
The Fan.
All right, hour number three, Dusty and Cam in the Morning. Coming up this hour, what is the winning formula for a defensive coach in an offensive league, the NFL? Two most exciting words in sports happening tonight in the NBA. And a game one as well. Ooh, NBA basketball in chatter. If you're wondering how the name, image, and likeness hearings are going in Washington, D.C. right now, apparently a senator from Tennessee, Lamar Alexander, is saying that name, image, and likeness should not go to players. It should go to a pool where every player benefits.
Oh, God. Lord. So, wait a minute.
So, it's not going well.
So, you mean adults? Wondering. You mean a pool? Oh, my God.
Is that Lamar Alexander, the former U.S. Secretary of Education?
Christmas.
Sure. I don't know. I'll go ahead and say maybe with that one.
So, wait a minute. So Trevor Lawrence needs to make sure that the swim, the fourth team swimmer gets a piece.
Yep, because of Trevor Lawrence.
And what pro? What? Okay. All right. So where we at?
So it's going well in DC right now.
Sounds very logical.
Going about just as well as that is. Yesterday was Mr. Harris' first day of teaching first grade. Oh boy.
What ground did we cover? A lot of syllabi.
Yeah, it was a big review day, which I feel bad for every teacher out there.
A lot of classroom rules.
Yes. Get your crayons set up right. Organization
is something else, because the kids are like, okay, when are we going to do stuff? When are we going to do stuff? And they're just like having to lay the groundwork. And I'm having that conversation like, okay, we're going to get there. Don't worry. I'm telling you right now, with parents teaching in first grade, we'll get through. There may be a lot of dumb kids out there in about, 5 to 10 years that just missed an entire grade of education, because there's a few parents on the little call there.
Yeah.
But it was like, it's going to be very hard to do this.
Yeah.
Hopefully we get back into a classroom sometime soon.
Respect to teachers out there.
Those teachers are working their butts off.
Now, can you imagine? Let me just tell you what a teacher is.
Their
right
butts
now.
Off.
You know, you're a teacher. Your wife's teacher.
Wife is a teacher.
So your wife, my wife, also a high school teacher, has to simultaneously be a teacher, educator,
yep,
technician,
yep,
Google expert,
yep,
cloud management system repair engineer,
and oh by the way,
and Zoom protocol setup, disciplinarian, attendance checker.
And also, child psychologist.
Child psychologist, fashion expert, social media management team, all while trying at the same time to educate children within their own household.
Exactly.
This is, just
really
sit
hard.
Back and expect that one from your teachers.
And you can tell, like, every teacher that I have talked to, or that, you know, like my daughter's teacher, they are just like sitting there and they're trying to get through it, but you have kids squiggling and wiggling, unmuting themselves,
horrible,
talking all the time.
Horrible.
And it's like, all right, we're going to get there. We just got to stay the course. Hopefully they get into a little bit of a routine. But it's hard, man. All the teachers out there, I feel for you. Mm. All the parents out there that are now teachers, I feel for you too.
We need school.
We do.
We need school soon.
Hey, it is important. It is important.
It's very important.
All right, let's talk a little NFL. Big Ben, he came back. He sat out 14 weeks last year, the regular season. He had surgery. He didn't even start like throwing a small football until February. What did we make of Big Ben's return last night?
He looked good physically.
He got knocked in the knee at one point.
Well, I was slim. Like, oh, he slimmed down. No. He looks like he's taking care of his body. Funny how it takes a surgery and to shave the beard to suddenly go, maybe I should invest in my body. I mean, because remember how Big Ben was listed at like 255?
There was no way he was there.
Let me tell you this. This is from inside info. Big Ben was always tipping 285.
Yeah, he's a big dude. And he had an 11-yard rush.
He's a 6 foot, and I've stood next to Ben at that time when he first got into the league. You know, that man is big. When I mean big, he is big, like upper body, thick, everything. He is a big dude. You don't quite understand how big he is till you stand next to him and see him in pads.
When you see guys,
that's a tight end times 10.
You see guys bounce off of him. Defensive linemen bounce off of him in the pocket. He did look good. And hey, the Pittsburgh Steelers made some low key moves that are really good, and they fit that division and that style of play. The Eric Ebron edition, he looks like he's fitting in. Now he just needs to stay healthy there, right?
So they bring in two D-line picks.
Well, no, I'm talking about to help Big Ben out.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the whole team, general.
I'm talking Eric Ebron and then that rookie Chase Claypool out of Notre Dame. They added like those two big bodies, like the Mutters. They have Juju. They got James Washington. Mm-hmm. Those guys have got Jets. They've got their Ferraris. But now they got like those possession, like big physical dudes.
Yeah.
They built a damn good roster, and then you talk Ravens about the defense as well.
Ravens need to watch out. That's going to be a tough out, folks. That division is not lock, stock, and barrel all of the Ravens. It's not. It's going to be those. That might be the most. When do those two play? They're for their first time. I'm counting down the time because it's going to be fun to watch. You talk about the black and blue of the AFC. That's always been the kind of the mantra of the AFC North.
October 25th.
Is it really? We got to wait that long? Yep. Dang it. Yep. All right. At least the buildup will be good.
Yeah, well, I mean, we get the Steelers-Texans not this week, but next week, week three.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it'll be a little bit, but it was good to see Big Ben back, and
yes,
I think the Giants were a great team to have him ease his way in because that is not a very good football team.
Not yet.
They are young, but they played really hard. We talk about that hard edge and Joe Judge, you know, is he going to be a guy where his message wears thin or whatever? They played really damn hard yesterday. Yeah. They're just not very good, especially on the offensive line. Their offensive line is bad. They are Saquon Barkley never got going. I think in like the third quarter, he had -2 yards. And Daniel Jones is running for his life back there.
Well, he's young. So they got going for them, which is nice. They're young. They can improve. I didn't really see anything of the Giants roster that was valuable right now. Now, of course, they will start to evolve. And remember, their coach is trying to put the stamp on their identity. How much does Dave Gettleman get responsibility according to what he's put on that roster? It's all his guys. He's got his coach now. He's got everybody. This is now Dave Gettleman. This is everything about him and what New York has built. He got rid of all the guys, the bad, the old apples, the ones that were considered problems. You invested in some young talent and now give it time. I mean, I'm not good. 1 week is just 1 week.
Yeah. And one thing that I really took away from Daniel Jones though is that like they had zero semblance of a running game. They were still able to move the ball down the field. I mean, he got sacked 3 times, but gosh, he got out and bailed himself out of a bunch of opportunities where he would have been just lit up. I mean, when you're running for your life, it's hard to one-dimensional. It's hard to move the ball down the field, and he was relatively – he was effective last night. Daniel Jones may get it if they get an offensive
line. I think this Giants team is going to be if Joe Judge is the coach that they hope he can be, they're going to be so much more difficult to play later this season, especially when the weather gets bad in New York. That offensive line is young. I think the left tackle is their first-round draft pick or second-round draft pick. Once they figure out how to protect and how to open up some holes for Saquon Barkley never had a hole.
Ever.
in that game. They're going to be scarier, much scarier in November and December than they will be early on.
Yeah, you got to give teams the ability to make mistakes early and learn, get on film. You want to talk about a team that needed preseason more than anybody. I mean, any new first-year coach who have young talent and they're trying to establish an identity, these guys don't have – the first month for the Giants is going to be very – not just take it with a grain of salt if you're a Giants fan.
Well, and then you've got, you know, your new left tackle is working against a guy, T.J. Watt, who we talk about Saquon Barkley being a freak. T.J. Watt, my goodness, that interception that he had.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Incredible. I mean, and that guy is a – those two guys are absolute freaks of nature. In a league full of freaks of nature, they stand out. Like, the Saquon hurtling and his start and stop ability, incredible. T.J. Watt – and how many Watt brothers are there that can be really good players in the NFL?
Well, the other one's just a fullback.
Well, God, TJ and JJ, my goodness, those two are incredible.
Yep.
But that kind of leads into left tackle, not necessarily the easiest way to get indoctrinated into the NFL.
I think the surprise, I don't feel like this is going to be a hot take regarding the Pittsburgh Steelers this year. This isn't, because they're one of the teams that every year you go, all right, they're going to be there as long as they can stay healthy and Ben can stay healthy. This team will make the playoffs this year. There's always teams that didn't make it the prior year. Remember, they were, what were they, 8-8 last year with a really, really, really bad situation, losing Ben Roethlisberger.
They had Duck Hodges quarterback.
Well, yeah. They will make the playoffs. This is going to be a team that will make the playoffs this year and make a lot of noise.
In the late game, boy, we were talking about a quarterback-driven league. Those two got Ryan Tannehill and Drew Lock. I don't know what to think of Drew Lock. I don't know if or how good he is, but he is entertaining to watch. He's got that little gunslinger mentality about him.
I don't see it, man. I don't.
Really?
I don't see it. I don't. I look for a couple things when you watch something early in somebody's career. When you get to see, I look for a dynamic play. I look for a throw that I'm like, oh, or my eyes where I can say, all right, I haven't seen that before. Or I look for something that is creativity. You know, because arm talent is arm talent. Anybody, I mean, there's lots of guys that have arm talent or somebody that can see. What is a gunslinger mentality? Well, you use that term.
He'll sidearm it. He was trying to put it into tight windows, and Jerry Jeudy didn't do him any favors with his two drops.
Right. I'm not saying he can't be a successful quarterback, because there are guys like Dak Prescott that can be very successful. Sure. We're talking about franchise Hall of Fame kind of guys where you see moments and seconds, because even when you watched a Kyler Murray and some of the throws, like, that guy's special. He has something you knew immediately when Patrick Mahomes stepped on the field. You went, okay, this is something different. I saw it with Russell Wilson. You could see it with Lamar Jackson, Cam Newton. There is something that you just say, oh, no, you can develop. And everybody's trying to find the next Tom Brady where you go, well, what did Tom Brady do when he was young that was spectacular? He didn't. He just fell into something that was excellent.
He sat a year and then got Drew Bledsoe.
He made a couple good throws. There were some good things. They played good team sports.
team sports.
Yeah, that's what it felt like. It was team sports. Those were team championships in the early days with the Patriots.
Oh, for sure.
You weren't talking about Tom Brady, the great offensive mind. No. You were talking about great defense and great leaders. And that's what made the Patriots evolved into Tom Brady being the best quarterback, because he started carrying the team at times.
Yeah, and that's what I
don't see that from Drew Lock yet.
No.
I'm not going to say he could be a good quarterback. He certainly could be a good one. I just didn't see any separation factor.
That's why I say I don't know what to make of him. I don't know if he's good or how good he is, but he looks like he's under control, right? And he tries to get that ball into a tight window. Doesn't work out for him a lot, but he didn't have any sacks, didn't have any picks yesterday. And so you're sitting there, you're going, I kind of see it, but I don't. As you said, you don't see that Kyler Murray, you don't see that Patrick Mahomes, but could he become something? Sure. I think that he could be a playoff quarterback. I would never put him on that platform of Deshaun Watson-esque.
I just think you know it when you have it. If we're looking for franchise, you have 32 teams in the league. Everybody's looking for a Hall of Fame quarterback. That's why you draft somebody, or that's why you start them. Now, you don't start a guy because some are just like, crap, there's 32 jobs in this world. You're hoping to find one guy that can lead you for 10 years. That's what you're hoping to find. Every single starter, you're going. But then there are situations where you go, well, we can't find this guy, so we better put him in there. And everybody's looking for the next Tom Brady. Still, you know it when you have it. You know it when you have it immediately. Coach, Vic Fangio, defensive mind. Offense, average, unique. Really? Melvin Gordon, pretty good?
Yeah.
Yeah, we good?
With Cortland's, my gosh, Sutton coming back. I want to call him Sunderland. Cortland Sutton coming back. They will have, you know, another receiver to pair with Jerry Jeudy that you sit there. Noah Fant is a good tight end.
Yep.
So, I mean, they're not going to be completely void of talent at the wide receiver position.
Could they get better? Sure.
Yeah.
Should things get better? Yeah. They have talent. They have some things that are there.
But guess what? Right. Their whole division's getting better, too.
They have to play Patrick Mahomes.
And the Raiders aren't going to be a bottom feeder. The Chargers, I'm not sure what to think of the Chargers.
I mean, John Gruden's a better coach. I mean, John Gruden's is a better coach.
For sure.
He's a better coach.
And they picked up a big road win in Carolina.
Yeah, they did.
All right, we want to hear from you. 503-250-1080. What is the winning formula for a defensive coach in an offensive NFL? We saw it. You mentioned him. Vic Fangio. Dustin Cam on the Fan. All right. Our P1 Social today. What is the winning formula with a defensive coach in an offensive league like the NFL? Vic Fangio, Mike Vrabel. Boy, it was game management a struggle last night for both of those guys. And it kind of seems like that is the idea of defensive-minded coaches across the NFL. It seems like it's the reoccurring thing. Now, managing game isn't easy for anybody, no matter your background. But why is it that we see it with the defensive coaches more? We want to hear from you. 503-250-1080. What is the winning formula with the defensive coach in the National Foosball League? 503-250-1080. We went over this in the first hour. There's just not, less than a third of the league is defensive-minded coaches.
So how many defensive-minded coaches do we have? 11? We talk about that is 10, there. 10, 11? 11.
I mean, because, you said Joe Judge was the defensive guy, but, I mean, he played quarterback at Mississippi State.
I still believe that he has kind of more of a defensive mindset because he came under that tutelage, but there could be some, maybe he's a hybrid coach in a sense, but that's subjective on how you look at it, on what he came when he was a special teams coach. That's why I would ask, what is John Harbaugh? What do you consider John Harbaugh?
I think
anomaly.
If you look at his background, his whole family's been offensive guys. And
right, but that's not
player,
fair.
As a player, he was an offensive guy. Yeah. And then he was...
Special teams coach.
But yeah, prior to being an NFL coach. But wouldn't you say his background would be offensive?
That's a tough situation because you ask him, is it that they're really invested on defense? They've always been really good on defense. But you also got to look at maybe how the general manager builds too. What is their influence? And I think that's a huge deal when you see why did John Elway hire Vic Fangio? Well, John Elway's an offensive-minded guy. He's been trying to find a quarterback since he poached Peyton Manning away from Indianapolis. He can't find one.
The GM is a big one there, too, because how you build that roster. I mean, just look at the Baltimore, John Harbaugh and the Baltimore Ravens are a great example of this. Ozzie Newsome.
No longer there.
Yes.
Retired.
He was a defensive guy, but he built he built one
Ozzie
of the
was
best
a tight
defenses.
End. Ozzie was not a defensive guy. He was a tight end.
But he built one of the best defenses. And you look at the Denver Broncos, John Elway is their GM. 66% of their payroll is on the defensive side of the football.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not an offensive team the way they are built.
Correct.
From the ground up. You look at those two teams, that is the way that they built their franchises, is the defensive side of the ball. And then you have a defensive coach in Vic Fangio and the anomaly, which is a special teams coordinator in John Harbaugh there. But that goes a long ways into how you manage the game, does it not? Is which side are you going to protect the most?
Well, probably. But if you look at it from the defense, I said this earlier in the show, I can reiterate, the mindset of a defensive person is to always be on the – if you take what does it mean to play defense – you're letting the other team dictate pace, tempo, and you're reacting. So as defensive minds, this is kind of along the why Vic Fangio didn't use his timeouts, because he's a reactor. Does that make sense when we talk about how the mindset of a defensive coach thinks, I'm going to react to what the offense, because the offense moves first.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to let them dictate. This is why I always use the example of Chip Kelly kind of changed the way we thought of football. He created something that we've always wanted to try to invest in, and then teams started catching up. But he created a sense of urgency from the first snap to the last snap. It was very difficult to do, but defense was a secondary thought, because the first thought was, I want to take that same two-minute mindset in the fourth quarter and translate that to the first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, to put tons of pressure on teams. Now, that mindset worked for a little while, and then teams caught up on how to defend it. We now look in the NFL. What are teams trying to do? They're trying to put pressure on you from the start, from offense. You look at Russell Wilson, what Pete Carroll wanted to adjust. Defensive-minded coach, I want to change my mindset. I got to go with my best talent. I want to let offense be more aggressive. The entire NFL is trying to create pressure from the start.
Stress on them.
Yeah.
Let's see. Let's go to the 503. Real simple. Protect the ball, run the rock. If you control the clock, you can control the game.
Boy, that used to be the mantra in football, didn't it?
It still is the mantra because all those running teams were in the playoffs last year. They were. That mantra worked. But unfortunately, Patrick Mahomes went, when we're down 24 to nothing, we could just throw back.
But then it went from like, hey, time of possession in that has really changed. Run the ball still is it. But control the clock is the one that that's vastly changed in the NFL because a lot of the running teams, they can play with a lot of tempo, man.
They can play with.
They don't really care about that 30 minutes of time of possession.
They can play with tempo, but tell me what is more. There are two lines of thinking. That's why run teams like what Pete Carroll is always matches up with great defense. Because if you can chew up clock on the ground, what's more demoralizing? A 50-yard bomb with a quick strike touchdown or a 12-play Derrick Henry right down your throat? What's more demoralizing for a defense?
It is the long sustained drive. And that was last night, the 19-play drive that ended in an interception last night for the Giants was just like, oh, my gosh.
Because you're like, oh, my gosh. And then you bring out the offense. You go, if we go three and out, they're going to do that again to us. That's what you're looking for from a defensive-minded head coach. Then you're looking at Sean McVay, who's going to go, I'm going to score on eight different ways. We're going to move, shift, motion. We're going to put a lot of window dressing like Kyle Shanahan does on the same play. We're going to move you. We're going to do all that, but still play some good defense, but it's a different mindset. And that's what you're trying to do in this league. They're trying to combat the fact that, all right, we can still run the football and dominate you with good defense, but if you face a Mahomes, and here's the formula, guys. The formula is very simple. Defensive-minded head coach has to have a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Has to have an elite Hall of Famer that can change the game for you. If you don't, you look like Denver.
Yeah. Both show. 503-250-1080. That is the Fan text line. Want to hear your feedback. What is the winning formula with the defensive coach in an offensive league? Plus, we've got the two most exciting words in sports coming up tonight. And it's coming from the bubble, which we will have more of. I went back and I looked up the time of possessions to win the games. Teams that won time of possession in week one, 12-4. It's not surprising to see the teams that lost the time of possession still, or that won the time of possession still lost. Philly, Indy, Detroit, Cleveland. Those are the teams. And Philly lost in a comeback fashion, whereas quick strikes, Indy, comeback fashion, Detroit, comeback fashion, and then Baltimore just absolutely bludgeoned the Cleveland Browns. So they had a time of possession just because they had the ball more. Interesting part of that conversation. I mean, look, you dominate that time of possession, you're going to win, man. Having the ball a long time, it helps. All right, we got a little bit of bubble news. Heard it in Swag's update. We've got Major League Baseball going to a bubble.
Yeah, they were discussed. This has been an ongoing discussion throughout. There were some reports over the weekend that they had a plan, but it appears several sources now reporting that the Players Association and the Major League Baseball owners have agreed on that plan. So the National League will conduct wild card divisional in their championship series between Houston and Arlington in Texas at American League Ballpark. So there's no home field advantage for everybody. Mm-hmm. The American League will go to Petco Park and Dodger Stadium in LA and San Diego. The World Series will be held in Arlington at Globe Life Park. They're kind of kicking
their new barn.
Kicking them a bone. So
is Houston really the best place to be putting that with everything that's gone on with them? You're going to have teams crying foul if they make it. They'll probably be in.
Well, it depends. I mean, I'm assuming
what a disappointment that
is. Well, you'll create bubbles. They'll overtake. I'm assuming there's big hotels in Houston near a convention center that they can overtake and create
a ton of hotels.
So that's part of it. They just overtake an entire hotel. They own it. They create the bubble. They set up the protocols. Obviously, they now have the NHL and the NBA to use as a resource on how they did it and what how everything needs to be put in place for it. So yeah. You would think it could be up and running pretty quickly. And then I think it's October. It's either September 30th or October 1st. You would begin those three-game series in the new expanded wild card round.
And well, that sucks. You're not going to be able to see Dodger baseball in Chavez Ravine.
In the World Series.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah.
Not going to see the Yankees play. You don't think weather is a big deal for those teams in the World Series towards the end of the cold, the crispness, and benefit? Oh, man.
Yep. Well, you
don't quite understand it, but all right.
Well, you're pushing it back, and you don't want any delays.
You don't want any delays.
Plus, bubble it up.
They don't want weather issues if the Yankees get in or Cleveland gets in or.
But that's part of what you. I mean, weather issues. That's how you play regular baseball. I mean,
but the timeline's getting pushed back, so already dicey weather. No,
I get it. I get it. I get it.
So yeah, the World Series is scheduled to start on October 20th and finish no later than the 28th.
I guess that is the normal. That is the normal
schedule.
That's
the normal window. They want to.
They always finish before November anyway.
Yeah, Halloween night is when the Astros clinched. Sorry, Swag.
clinched what?
World Series 2017.
Yeah. Remember that
cheating.
Remember it? Remember that? They still got a little flag waving there.
Yeah, keep waving it.
Well, it will.
Yeah, keep waving it.
It will.
Yeah, well.
Cheaters, in a cheaters. Bubble that is happening. In a bubble that is happening and underway, we get a game 7 tonight. Nuggets, Clippers. The Clippers have blown massive leads, including a game 6 19-point lead in the third quarter.
This is 100% on the Clippers. Nuggets. 100% on the Clippers, and this will tell you, and I'm going to give you this straight up and honest why. This is on them and Doc Rivers and their load management and their lack of conviction for the regular season. Who was all in for the regular season? The Los Angeles Lakers. Who's all in also for the regular season? The Milwaukee Bucks. Well, that one didn't work. But they did not load management. They were all in, but they just didn't have another star that could combat the fact that Giannis was hurt. When you're all in and you invest in the regular season and you prepare and get ready like every game matters, like the Lakers did, you end up dominating teams. Well, guess what the Clippers have done? They took days off. This game off, this quarter off, Paul George injured, Kawhi Leonard, who's a great player. Question to do that. Shit, moaning, it shifts in motions to the who's going to be the starter, deep bench, and all that. This is 100% on you, Clips, man. You should have handled Denver a couple games ago, but you decided to let teams hang around just like you did, same formula you did during the regular season. So you reap what you sow, and now all bets are off. Here, Denver could come out. And they could shoot the lights out on you, and you might just go, uh-oh, I guess we should have invested in the regular season a little more, load management team. There you go.
Well, yes, you do have that. I mean, Kawhi Leonard in the load management, but that worked last year for the Raptors, and he was on the same load management.
In the Eastern Conference.
Okay.
Yeah.
But now you have the same kind of formula, and he's like, well, it worked for me last year. Why am I going to change it?
It's
worked for the San Antonio Spurs for decades.
What?
Now.
Load management for the San Antonio Spurs?
Yes.
Really? When? When they got 70?
Pop's entire career.
But they stopped winning championships after 2012. So that's like 8 years ago.
Well, I know, but that's when they kind of started it. And it
right.
was something.
But they didn't win a championship
always...
after that. Load management doesn't work.
No.
Ask Dane how he feels about load management here in Portland.
But there's some teams that can't afford to do it. They thought that they did. And they just don't. Look, I don't know what it is. Patrick Beverley fouling out quick, you know, and he's going to be a huge part if they're going to want to play in this. Their style of play in the Nuggets, there's just some about the Denver Nuggets. They don't go away. I mean, we saw it in their first round matchup too against the Utah Jazz. They were down 3-1, and they could become the first team in NBA history to erase 2-3-1 deficits. This has kind of been a problem with Doc Rivers' teams though too, hasn't it? Is closing out in the postseason, whether it was in Houston or it is now in LA with the Clippers, closing out these series. Load management,
it's a mindset.
I'm willing to be there with that, but also it's a Doc Rivers thing where his teams are what? The Clippers as a franchise are 0-7 all time with opportunities to go to the conference finals.
Well, they've never had a closer like Kawhi Leonard. So that's going to be the difference maker tonight because I believe the Clips are going to win. I do. I believe they're going to win because they have a guy like he's a Terminator. He can just go to that next level. It won't be because of Paul George. That's for dang sure. He won't.
What, playoff P gone again?
What, I mean, he'll definitely be a benefit of having Kawhi Leonard around him, but Kawhi Leonard's not going to let this team lose to Denver. If it something does, something has, there has to be catastrophic failure for a reason
well,
to just do
it
that.
The last two games.
I know.
Paul George is good. I mean, the last game, he had 33.
Yeah, Paul George has played actually pretty well in
really
this
well.
Season, this series. Yeah. The key for Denver, they can't get cold early. They figured out and that in that why the Clippers took their foot off the gas, but now they're exposing the bench guys, Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell, in pick and roll situations.
Sure.
So if they get a lead and force the Clippers to have to go to a more offensive minded lineup, then they can continue to just get the matchups that they want. If the Clippers come out and build an early, if they get a double-digit lead in the first half, I don't think they're going to give it up. And Vegas likes them. They're 7.5 to 8-point favorites.
Clips are 7.5?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because also in a game seven, the refs don't want to be the reason why a team
loses.
Let's
hope so.
So they're going to let them play a little
bit. Let's hope
so. They sure as hell better, man. Yeah. That would, wouldn't
we
that
all
be
want Clips Lakers. Let's just call it what it is.
Yes,
everybody
do.
Wants to see the Clips and the Lakers.
Yeah. What do you want in the East? Because the Eastern Conference Finals get underway tonight.
I think it's already set.
Celtics Heat.
I think this is going to be a great series if Miami can get its three-point shooters, Tyler Hero and is it Richardson? If they can consistently keep up. I fear
Robinson.
Boston. Yeah, Robinson.
Duncan Robinson.
If they have to rely totally on Jimmy Butler to be their offense, Boston will overwhelm them. They just have too many options. Gordon Hayward probably won't play game one, but he's expected to come back sometime in this series.
He's not going
to
make a little bit of a difference, but that's, I mean, that team's, I mean, Boston is so athletic and so young and explosive. Miami's going to have to play perfect basketball.
Hayward gives you efficiency, know, and that, I mean, the dude.
But they match up well with each other.
He's shooting 50% on the season, and you're sitting there looking at a guy who just, I mean, Gordon Hayward doesn't take shots away from their three guys who are their stars. And if you get an efficient guy back, boy, that he could make a big impact on that series. But you're right, man. Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Walker.
I'm excited
and
for
Marcus
Kemba.
Smart. How about
Marcus Smart
too?
Man, playing at a next level. That chase down block he had, he's one of their best defense. That's
defense.
Gosh, dang it. The Celtics are fun to watch.
Yeah, the one thing, though, the Heat will be relentless at both ends of the floor. You won't get any load management. They will play all out, which has the potential to keep this an interesting series.
Yeah. It's a good series.
They've got to come up with the attack on, I think it starts with Tatum, because they don't have anybody that's a good one-on-one matchup for Tatum.
And away we go.
I mean, you've got to go Jimmy Butler on him.
Yeah, and if they do that, I think they should run Tatum right down and work him out of the low block and force double teams, and he can pass out of it.
Could we see the LeBron stopper, Andre Iguodala, guarding Jason Tatum?
Did he even play at all?
Yeah, he was in there in that series, second series. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You'd see him run him out there.
Boy.
All 7 minutes.
That has been, that's been something, man.
Yeah.
Well, he's getting run. He's just, you don't notice him.
No.
You don't notice him. At all.
Well, I do notice him because he puts his palms up every time.
That's your damn right he does.
Palms up guy.
Damn right. All right, 503-250-1080. That is the fan text line. We got a game seven. We got a game one. And will the Mariners continue to play up in Seattle? Boy, the Oakland Athletics having a little, a few complaints over yesterday's doubleheader in T-Mobile Park. This is Dustin Cam on the... Watch out, boy. Mariners and A's were up in Seattle yesterday, a little bit of a double dippy, and split that one. That Kyle Lewis home run grab, where he robbed the home run, looked like Ken Griffey Jr. up there.
Oh, yeah, you went with Kid Nana.
He's sweet.
Something special, man. Finally, at least there's some talent to get excited for the Mariners for the future. He's a young superstar.
He's dang near hitting 300
right
now. That was sweet, though. But... the story of that game became the air quality. Obviously,
it should be.
The fires on the West Coast.
Yeah.
It was considered, they were, I think, in the mid 200s there with the air quality, which we've all become experts on air quality recently.
Not an expert.
Oh, because I just sit there and I look at like the air quality and it's like 445. And I go, what the hell does that mean? And then it just tells me hazardous. Don't go outside.
Right.
And so I don't. But it was considered very unhealthy for that doubleheader. And after the game, Bob Melvin, he didn't hold back. He said no one said a word. He said, I heard 200 was a cutoff level to start. In my understanding, we were way over that both games. And then their starter for game one, Jesus Luzardo, said, I'm a healthy 22-year-old. I shouldn't be gasping for air or missing oxygen. I'll leave it at that. Boy.
Yeah.
They're trying. I mean, and they need to get all the games in that they possibly can, but that the haze was noticeable just from the television cameras
sure was.
Of watching it.
Yeah, there's really nothing you can do about it. I mean, you either play or you don't play. The league, I don't know about the league stepping in, and you would think that the teams would evaluate it, but what do you do?
Man, and that's going to be the big question moving forward is that, you know, today they have the Giants rolling into T-Mobile Park. And they're going to have bad air quality again today. So, I mean, after that kind of backlash, you know, what do you do? Do you continue to go on and play those games? It's something to keep an eye on throughout the course of the day.
Yeah.
You know? Elsewhere, it is U.S. Open week. Do you see the pairing everybody is rumbling about for the U.S. Open, for the opening round pairings?
Not yet. What you got?
Jordan Spieth is paired with one Patrick Reed.
Is that a bad thing?
I didn't know that these guys hated each other.
I don't know anybody likes Patrick Reed.
Until I saw that, like, but this one is, this one has a little extra juice to it. Like, because I remember they were the guys that were paired together for the Ryder Cup, and they were supposed to be like, hey, this is going to be America's duo for the next decade, right? In Ryder Cups. Apparently, they don't like each other because last Ryder Cup, they didn't even play with each other and didn't even acknowledge each other.
I don't think that it's a big deal. I think the guys can be pros. I mean, there's always been pairings where you don't like to play with each other. That's not news in the PGA Tour.
I love
or
that
of
the U.S. Open does this.
Right.
Thing.
I mean, you're trying to make things interesting. I think they can be professionals and they can just stay away from each other. I mean, that's stay in their own mindset and then play their own game.
I'm going to guess Spieth's caddy is going to be watching old Patty there pretty close.
Seeing if there's some cheating going on? Is
Making
that what you're saying?
Making sure he's not...
what a waste of time that
as
is.
As he lines up those shots from the rough that he's not, you know...
You know, are you one of those guys on the golf course swag that is always... I mean, I'm not saying you are. I'm just wondering, do you spend time really investing if someone's cheating? Because once a cheater is always a cheater. What's the point?
No, they're...
I mean, are you eyeballing a guy out? Unless you got like $100 a hole and you're going like, dude, and this guy's air count, you know, air counting guy.
Tom Brady.
When you get to the green, you're like, 7, 4, 5. I got a 5, dude. No, you got a 6.
No, but I think that's what the caddies. I think that's part of the caddy's job on the PGA Tour.
To watch out for the others.
Yeah. Is to pay attention while you're, because obviously as the golfer, you don't want to have to pay attention. That's distracting. But I think the caddies, that's part of the gig there.
They do have some good pairings, though, because you got Tiger is with Colin Morikawa and Justin Thomas.
Oh, that's a good group.
Sign me up for that
good
one.
Good group.
You've got Phil Mickelson is with John Rahm and Paul Casey.
I love John Rahm.
I do too.
I really do.
I love Lefty. And then you have Bryson DeChambeau.
Casey's a...
He's a snoozer.
He's an Englishman, but it's just like snore.
The poor group of Gary Woodland, Andy Ogletree, and Shane Lowry are going to be hit on all day long because the group right behind them is Bryson DeChambeau, Dustin Johnson, and Tony Finau.
Some bombers. Who's the longest in that group? Well, it's Bryson.
Yeah, but my God.
I think if he wanted to be, it could be Finau.
He's got a short impact. It's a compact swing.
Yeah.
But he's tall and lanky. He can hit it. He can bomb it.
He can hit some
bombs. He can hit it far.
Oh my gosh. But those are the notable ones. You haven't seen any of these? Other than that, it just doesn't look like, I mean.
It's the U.S. Open.
Meh. But hey,
arbitrary first round leader, plug in now.
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about?
Paul Casey. It'll be the snoozer guy. God. It'll be the snoozer guy. And then you'll get somebody right on
the
heels.
The guy you want to watch out for is Scottie Scheffler, the rookie. Mm-hmm. He's been as consistent as any of those guys since the restart, and he is a giant bomber too. Yeah.
True, and I always agree with there's a unique starter or somebody that comes out in the first rounds, but this is about veteran experience, playing with pressure and knowing how to manage a course like Wingfoot and stuff like that. So you're going to have, first of all, being a bomber is great, but these guys have never played under the pressure, some of these rookies, and they know what it's like to have those guys around.
And you got to put it in the fairway here.
Yeah, but you're going to, I mean, you're going to win. This is going to be under par. I'm sorry. This is going to be over par winner.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be an over par winner. Just get used to it. If you're going to watch golf this week, don't get excited about a birdie fest.
All right. Well, it's U.S. Open. That's what we've come accustomed to that.
That's what the USGA does.
Yep.
Hey, I saw an update. that golfer from Idaho who is staying in the Roach Motel.
Somebody get him a
hook him
nice
up.
Place.
Get him a little Airbnb.
It was
a little trailer.
No, he just made a video saying I survived.
Okay,
spectacular. I did feel bad for that guy. It's like, and here are the blood splatters on the wall with the bleached carpet.
It appears we have bullet holes in this wall, and then
and they dragged the body into the bathroom where they broke the sink.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, he made it through the night, so congrats to him.
Mm-hmm.
Gino Bonelli is his name, and Gino survived the night. So there's your golf update. All right, on today's show, we talked a lot of football. You can check it out, Les Schwab Tires podcast at 1080thefan.com. One thing I want to review before we go.
Yeah.
The definitive, always changing Cam Cleland week one power rankings.
Number five.
I wrote them down.
Yeah, write them down.
I wrote them down.
Okay.
Number five, you had the Arizona Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
Number four, you had the New Orleans Saints. Number three, the Seattle Seahawks. Number two, the Baltimore Ravens. And the number one team in the National Football League, you had the Cleveland Browns. Oh, wait, no. You had the Kansas City Chiefs as
nice
the
try.
Number one team in the National
the state
Football
of Kansas.
League.
From Kansas.
Yeah. The Missouri City Chiefs.
The Kansas.
You had number one.
State of Kansas.
I love the fact you went Arizona at five, though, because I think that's one of the things that is the most surprising in that is that you had them at number five. But your reasoning and logic behind it was clutch. They were able to do
why
it on
thank
the road.
You. I thank you. No, I think it's just... You have to be able to change and adjust and look what's valuable and understand that when you go on the road and you play the defending NFC championship team, which is the San Francisco 49ers, and you knock them out, you go punch for punch with them, and you do something they weren't quite ready for, but you added a big-time player, DeAndre Hopkins, and you have an electric superstar quarterback who is as versatile. I mean, my three favorite quarterbacks in this league right now, all former baseball players, and they can throw anywhere. Russell Wilson, Patrick Mahomes, and Kyler Murray, athletic, versatile, throw in the pocket, get outside the pocket. Hey, play multiple sports, folks. It makes you a better athlete.
Aaron Rodgers, Murray Hill Little League.
Bingo. Tom Brady, college baseball, high school baseball. I mean, I'm just saying.
Very, very hard.
Don't be the statue.
Well, that's Tom.
Well, you can't. Your physical limitations only take you so far.
Yeah, but he does. You said it yesterday. Best feet in the division.
Mm-hmm.
Was that Friday? Was that Friday?
Yeah.
I don't even remember.
He does.
It's all running together. All right. Well, that division is not, you don't have Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes.
No, you don't.
But he moves in the pocket better than anybody else, my dude. All right. We'll be back tomorrow, Wednesday edition. Let's get this thing going. We have a game 7 tonight in the NBA. 6 o'clock tip between the Lakers, the Clippers and the Nuggets. Game 1. Between the Celtics and Heat, Eastern Conference Finals, 3:40 tip right there. In the Western Conference Finals, the Lakers awaiting the winner of that Clips-Nuggets matchup. All right, up next, we got the Herd with Colin Cowherd, 9 to noon, noon to 3, Dirt and Sprague, 3 to 7, primetime with Isaac and Souk, Duck Insider, 7 to 8 p.m. Have a great Tuesday, see you Wednesday right here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.